ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة والأخوات في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن شاء الله continue the تفسير القرآن from سورة البقرة أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوف بعهدكم وإياي فارهبون وآمنوا بما أنزلت مصدقا لما معكم ولا تكونوا أول كافر به ولا تشتروا بآياتي ثمنا قليلا وإياي فاتقون ولا تلبسوا الحق بالباطل وتكتموا الحق وأنتم تعلمون وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واركعوا مع الرسول تأمرون الناس وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون. الله سبحانه وتعالى says والذين كفروا وكذبوا بآياتنا أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. As for those who disbelieve, وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا, and belie our signs and our revelations, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ, those will be the people of hell, هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, and they will dwell in it forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will pledge فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. And if guidance come to you for me, فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ, whoever follows my guidance, فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. There will be no fear for them and they will not grieve over what has gone. We said in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فمن اتبع هدايا فلا يضل ولا يشقى. Whoever follows my guidance, فلا يضل, such a person will not go astray, ولا يشقى, and such a person will not be miserable. Which means it is the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can give us what is known as as-sa'adatul abadiyya,
the eternal happiness. The eternal happiness can only be gotten by following the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who does not follow the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the opposite will be his own portion. And what is the opposite? And that is ash-shaqawa. That is wretchedness and unhappiness will be the portion of such a person. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنِ اتَّبَى هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. Ayashqa, the opposite of shaqawa is what? Sa'ada. Allah says, فَلَا يَضِلُّ, such a person will not go astray. Which means that the one who follows other than the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely such a person has gone astray. If you look at this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, he says, فَمَنْ تَبِعَ, whoever follows, فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ, whoever follows my guidance, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِ, there will be no fear for them. That is, one will be thinking of what is going to be my fate. Once you follow the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't have to entertain any fear, whether you are supposed to be a wretched one before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who follows the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a person is going to be free from any fear. And that's why Allah says, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِ, there is no fear for them, as long as they follow the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, and they will also not grieve over what they are watching. Lest, at times, one will be thinking of, okay, if I do this, or I leave some things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so what is going to be, I have lost a lot of things. But if you know that if you follow the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever he loses in this world, that is going to be given back to him in the hereafter. Because he has obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he has followed the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we are trying to say in essence is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى, if my guidance come to you, فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَوْ يَحْزَنُونَ. So whenever you are following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rest assured that there is no going to be khawf for you. You are on the right path. You don't have to fear or be afraid of anything, that if I follow this path, I may not triumph or I may not succeed in the hereafter. No. As long as what you are following is the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rest assured that inshallah, triumph, success is going to be yours. And whatever you may have lost in this world, definitely it's not something that when you remember, you say, oh, it's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I've lost so and so. All the things that you lose in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you in abundance. So that's why you have to ponder over this. فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. There will be no حُزْن, that is grief, for those who follow the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there will be no khawf for them, that what is going to be my fate if he, on the day of Qiyamah. If I follow this path, one should be assured that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ, there will be no fear for them. Why? Because they have decided to follow the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there will be no grief for them. Why? Because they decided to follow the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if there is no grief, no fear, certainly such a person is going to have happiness. He's going to have happiness. And that's what Allah says to the other verse. فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ, whoever follows my guidance, فلا يضل such a person will not go astray. ولا يشفر and will not worship, will not be unhappy. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us his happiness, happiness from him, and may he subhanahu wa ta'ala let us get his pleasure in this world and in the year after. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala followed this verse with the talk concerning those who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا as for those who disbelieve, وَكَذَّبُوا and they belie the آيَاتِنَا our signs, our verses, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. These will be the people of hell and they will dwell in it forever. If happiness, pleasure of Allah, joy, not entertaining any fear or any grief, if that is for those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who disbelieve and deny the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, theirs is going to be hellfire in which they will dwell forever. May Allah save us from this. Then when you take kufr or at-takzib, what is at-takzib? At-takzib is the one to declare something as a lie inside you. That is, you can't believe in it. This is at-takzib. But when you say kufr, it may be something that can't deny from your mind, and may be something that you deny on your tongue. And that's why scholars will differentiate between at-takzib and al-juhud. Juhud is the one to declare something as what false. But inside you know that what you declare to be false is what? Is truth. Inside you know that what you declare to be false is what? This is the truth. This is juhud. An example of this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning the people of Ra'aw. Allah said, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا جَحَدُوا بِهَا. That is, they declared these signs, verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they declared them as what? As lies. وَقَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنْفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا. But their hearts know that this that they declared to watch to be falsehood is what? Is the truth. Why did they do that? They did it zulman, as an act of what? Injustice. Wa'uluwan, and arrogance. Because they know how to admit the truth. But they knew deep down their heart that this is the truth. So jahadu biha, with the courage to watch to be falsehood. Instead of it, nothing that they are liars. جحدوا بها وسيطنت أنفسهم ظلما وعلوا. But in the case of تكذيب, this is what something that has to do with what? The mind. Often. So they declare it in their minds, in their heart, as what? As lie. But when they say kufru, at times, kufru will be something that you say out of tongue, will be something that has to do with the mind. And that's why when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam uses the word kufr, it may be referring to what? Something of the lips. Huh? And at times it may be referring to something of what? Of the heart. Like when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was admonishing the people and he said to the women that they should do sadaqah. He said, فَإِنَّ أَكْثَرَكُنَّ حَقَبُوا جَهَنَّمُ. most of you who enter Jahannam. He said, listen to Rasulullah. He said, why? Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They asked him, Ayakfurna billah? Did they believe in Allah? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. Yakfurna al-ashir. Yakfurna al-ashir. They do kufr of what? Al-ashir. And that was, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فإنك إذا أحسنت إلا إذا هن الدهر كله. If you do good to one of them, throughout your life. That is, most of the time you are doing good to them, doing good to one of them, إذا رأت منك شيئا, if she sees in you something that she detests, that she doesn't like, the next thing she will say is that what? مَا رَأَيْتُ فِيكَ خَيْرًا أَكْتُمْ. I've never seen any good in you. Is that the truth? She knows deep down her heart that what? She has seen a lot of good in you. But what she has done is what? Is كُفْرُ. The Messenger of Allah called it what? كُفْرُ. It is كُفْرُ نِعْمَةٌ. Somebody has bestowed good on you. Then you show ingratitude, so to say, to such a person. So what I'm trying to say in essence is that what? The kufru can be what? The kufru that has to do with the mind, and that is what the person believes. And at times it has to do with what? Something of the belief, or something that is not up to the major kufru. And that's why scholars will say al-kufru kufran. The kufru is two types. We have what? The kufru that is the kufru duna kufru, and the kufru that is what? Kufrun akbar, the major kufru, and the kufru that is what? Kufrun duna kufru. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, those who disbelieve, وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا, and they declare our verses and our signs as lies. The آيَاتِنَا used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here can refer to the signs, all the signs, all the miracles brought by the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the آيَات can be referring to this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مَنَعْنَا أَن نُرْسِلَ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا أَن كَذَّبَ بِهَا الْأَوَّلُونَ. When the people of Quraysh, when they were asking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give them signs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the signs they are asking you, nothing has stopped us from bringing these signs, that is, these miracles, إِلَّا أَن كَذَّبَ بِهَا الْأَوَّلُونَ. Those before them, those the believers before them, they denied those miracles. Allah says, وَأَطَيْنَا الصَّمُودَ نَاقَةً مُبْصِرَةً. The Samud, that is the people of Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, we gave them naqa, camels, mubsiratan, as a clear sign. فَقَلَ مُبِيَا. Rather, they became what? They become unjust. They became wrongdoers with this sign that we gave to them. So the shine there is that the word ayat here can refer to what? The miracles. And can also what? Refer to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the do's and don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can also refer to what? The do's and don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which one did he lie to you? Did he lie to you? When they saw the miracles, some of them to believe in the miracles, believe in the prophet, believe in the messenger. They did not believe in the messenger, they did not believe in the prophet. Rather, they watched, they delighted them. Lord of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for them to accept these laws and implement them as the laws of the Creator, they delight them. They say, these are not good for our time. And the people who are saying this particularly in the present day, you see them running after the Western laws. They are importing the Western laws into their countries. Most of the Arabs today, you see them, you are running after the laws made by the West. Either the American laws, or the British law, or the French law, leaving the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The shahid here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا those who disbelieve. وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا and they delight our verses, our signs, our laws, they do not believe in them. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ they are the inmates of hellfire, the people of hellfire in فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ and they will dwell in it forever. Why? Because they disbelieve. They disbelieve in the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They disbelieve in the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever disbelieves in the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his signs, such a person means a kafir, kufr al-akbar. Such a person is a disbeliever. A disbeliever that is taking him out of the fold of Islam. Having said all this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proceeds, Ya bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي انعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوف بعهدكم وإياي فاعبدون. Allah says, Ya bani Israel, O children of Israel, who is Israel? Who is Israel? Prophet Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. His name is what? Israel. And that's why scholars, the front at calling the Jews, calling them Israel. That is the case. Because the word Israel, Israel, is the name of the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they formed this stage that they formed, by taking the territory of the Palestinians and they call it Israel or they call it Israel, ascribing it to Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, so that you know, you are what? You are Yahud, you are Jews, you are not Israel, because Israel is the name of the prophet of Allah. So Ya Bani Israel, O children of Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اذكروا نعمتي التي انعمت عليكم. Remember my favor upon you, the favor that I've bestowed upon you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed his favor on every one of us. There is nobody that is not wallowing in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا بِكُمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Whatever blessing or affluence or favor you have with you, فَمِنَ اللَّهِ from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in another verse, he said, وَأَتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَعَلْتُمُهُ. Allah has given you from all that you have asked him. If he has not given you all that you have asked, he has given you a lot of what you have asked. وأطاق من كل ما فعلتموه سوى إن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها. If you want to count the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you, that is true, you can't count it. You can't count the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you. But Allah says, إن الإنسان لظلوم كفار. But one being is ظلوم. Is ظلوم. Wrongdoer, unjust, ungrateful. So I think to show gratitude to the focus of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, human being will be fighting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite the fact that he himself is a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use to make him come into existence. Know that you have done something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create him. So the shahid is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Bani Israel, Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم. Remember, نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used what? His singular, نعمتي. It is not saying what Uzkuru ni'ami alaykum. It said what Uzkuru ni'amati. It is written in the Arabic language. So you singular, and you are referring to plural, particularly when you attach it to somebody. Uzkuru ni'amati wa Allah ta'ala alaykum. Remember my favor upon you. Allah ta'ala alaykum. How do you do remember? Or sorry, remembrance of the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you. I'm asking, how do you remember the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you? How do you remember the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us? Huh? By following the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? And abstaining from what he has watched for the message. Now, pondering on the signs. Now, what I'm trying to say is that what the book of name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to do with what? The actions of what? Of the art, the limbs, the tongue and the limbs. You have to believe in your mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has what? Has bestowed his mercy on you. That has what registered in your mind. If this is not registered in your mind, you can never appreciate the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You believe to whatever you have. As if Allah has not done anything to you. But when you know that Allah has what shown his mercy on you, and this is registered in your mind, you have this as belief, then you are on the path of what? Remembering the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you say this with your tongue by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you eat, you know this is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you put on clothing, you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that, because it's the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you write, you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this should appear on your tongue. Then it should also be manifest in your actions. So the dhikr of name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by you believing in this, in your act, then you also appreciating this on your tongue and on your limbs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling the people, the children of Israel, said, Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم. and fulfill my covenant with you, which is Ahdikum. I will also fulfill my promise with you. The reward that I promised those who worship me, I will fulfill that reward for you. But fulfill the covenant you have with me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a covenant with them that they should believe in his messengers, they should observe Surah, they should pray their zakah. They should believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his book. But instead of believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did they do? They denied the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They altered the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead of implementing the content of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they changed the content. They put some things in order to favor the well-to-do amongst them. They changed the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah told them, اذكروا نعمتي التي انعمت عليكم واوفوا بعهدي اوفي بعهدكم واياي فارهبون واياي فارهبون and only me you should watch, you should fear. The rahba here is shiddat al-khawf, that is the extreme fear that you have should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is not talking about the normal or the natural fear. Because the natural fear, human beings cannot avoid it. The natural fear happens to Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam when the Sahara, the magician, when they threw their ropes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يُخَيَّتْ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّا أَتَسْعَى. It appeared to Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam as he watched those ropes and watched snakes moving. So natural fear happened to Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُ خِيفَةً مُوسَى. فَأَوْجَسَ Musa alayhi salatu wasalam awjasa yani khafa. He fears. خِيفَةً مُوسَى. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam entertained fear. This fear is what? It's natural fear, which does not affect one's iman. Likewise, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُ خِيفَةً. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when those guests, when they came, and he offered them food, فَلَمَّا رَأَ أَيْدِيَهُمْ لَا أَفْتِمْ إِلِيهِ. When he saw that their hands were not going towards the food, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam entertained fear. فَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُ خِيفَةً. He has certain fear, what about people? So this fear is what natural fear that does not affect one's iman. But the fear that we are talking about here is the fear that is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that does it. This type of fear is one has it fallen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one has given the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his creature. Allah is وَإِيَّايَ فَرْهَبُونَ وَإِيَّايَ فَرْهَبُونَ. Only me you should watch, you should fear. Only me you should fear. And that is for you to believe that there is nobody that can harm you except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most of you believe that, oh, there are some evil eyes or there are some evil people that you can make them to die, they can make them to be poor, they can make them just by looking at them only, they can watch, destroy them completely. This type of watch fear should only be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that doesn't mean that there are no evil eyes. There are evil eyes. But you know that what you believe should be what? They cannot do anything except with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way you put them in the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by fearing them the way you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are giving the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ. This the shaitan that will make you, they will put fear in you that you should be afraid of his awliya, those who are serious. Allah wa sala takhafuhu, do not fear them, wa khafuni, fear me, in kuntum, mu'mini, if you are believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Banu Israel that they should remember his favor on them. He has done a lot of favor on them. He saved them from the torture of Fir'aun. He saved them from the torture of Fir'aun. He gave them food while they were in diaspora, while they could not get anything. Allah blessed them. Despite all these, they were grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اذكروا نعمتي التي انعمت عليكم واوفوا بعهدكم واياي فارعبون. Now this is an address to Bani Israel, but it's not just strict to them. It is also extended to us that we should also remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all situations. Aisha radiallahu anha said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يذكر الله في كل أحيان. This is what Allah will remember Allah في كل أحيان, in all situations. So not only the dhikr of the tongue, we mean the dhikr of the mind, the dhikr of the knees. So this is also applicable or extended to the believer generally. So remember the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who fulfilled the agreement that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by having believed in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, observing salawat, paying our zakat when it is due, avoiding things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forbidding, doing things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory. This is our ahd with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our ahd with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we are farhabun, we should also fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the situation that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that should be feared. So we have differentiated between al-khawf al-tabi'i and what is meant as well as khawf al-sirr. Khawf al-sirr is the fear that you have for other than Allah, that you are supposed to have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he's feeling or believing that somebody can cause you to die, somebody can what make you poor, somebody can make you sick, just by looking at you that a person can make you sick. Not putting this at what it is with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of you not fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you start to fear such a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنْزَلْتُمْ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَكُمْ. All people of Israel, the children of Israel, آمِنُوا and believe بِمَا أَنْزَلْتُمْ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَكُمْ, with what I've revealed. And what is that? The Quran. لما أنزلت مصدقاً لما معكم. Confirming what is with you. Allah revealed the Quran. And also what? He revealed the Sunnah. As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, ألا إني أتيت الكتاب ومثله معه. I was given the book ومثله معه and something similar to the book, which is the Sunnah. The explanation of the Quran. Now last is one then we make a zikr. It will be in an innaf, ma nizila ilayhim wa la'allahu yatafakkarun. So the shahid here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling the Jews at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina, there were three groups of Jews: the Banu Qurayza, the Banu Qaynuqa, and the Banu Nadir. They all broke their agreement with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did not believe in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except few among them. So majority of them, they were chased out of Medina. Some of them were even killed because they broke the agreement they had with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah was telling them before this punishment, said, "Wa aminu bima anzaltu musaddiqan," and have believed in what I have revealed. Musaddiqan lima ma'akum, confirm what is with you. In your book, you have that you should worship Allah alone. You should believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam yet to come. And these, they will chant, they will say that, oh, we are expecting the Prophet Muhammad. They were expecting him. But when he came, kafaru, he disbelieved him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مُصَدِّقًا لِمَنَعَكُمْ, what is confirming what with you? وَلَا تَكُونُ أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ, don't be the first set of people to disbelieve in religion. Disbelieve in the Quran and disbelieve in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they were the first set of people to disbelieve in it. Something that you are supposed to champion, then you are the first person to be criticizing such a thing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَكُونُ أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ وَلَا تَشْتَرِ بِآيَةِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا, do not transact or exchange the ayati, my verses, my laws, do not exchange it ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا, with what? Small price. Whatever you get, even the opinion that you make from making the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inferior to people, or making the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to appear as something that you can do away with, whatever amount you get from there is thamanun qaleel, it's a small price. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling them, believe in what I've reviewed, what I've sent down, confirming what is with you. Then, because of worldly things, now leave the truth. The Jews, because of worldly things, they left the truth. They abandoned the truth. They did not believe in the Quran. They did not believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They deep down their hearts, they know that this is the truth. But because of what to eat, because of the price they want to get, they left this. Allah said, وَلَا تَكُونُ أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَةِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ, and only me فَاتَّقُونَ fear. Do not fear another person. And that's the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a woman who was from a noble family, when she stole, and the Hajj was about to be carried on her. Some people now went to Usama bin Zayd. They said, oh, we know that the Messenger of Allah lost you a lot, so go and intercede on behalf of this woman. So Usama bin Zayd went and talked to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did not say anything. Later he mounted the minbar and he said, إِنَّ مِنْ أَعْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ إذا فرق منهم الشريف تركوه وإذا فرق منهم الضعيف أقاموا على الحد. Part of what has destroyed those before you is that when a noble person stole among them, تركوه, they will leave him that, oh, this is a noble person. He has come from a noble family. We cannot implement the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وإذا فرق منهم الضعيف, but somebody who comes from a lowly family, if he feels, aqamu alayhi al-hajj, they will be implementing what is in the book on such a person. Listen of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَوْ أَنَّ فَاتِمَةَ بِنْتَ مُحَمَّدٍ فَرَقَتْ لَقَرْضَعَتُ يَدَهَا, if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, was to steal her works, I will cut her hands. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them. وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَةِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا, and do not change my verses, my laws, with ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا, with one thing that you want to get. وَإِنْيَا يَا تَبْتَقُونَ, fear me, only, don't fear any other person. يقوم بالتقوى ومش التقوى تكون باتخاذ الوقاية taking prevention or taking something that will protect one from the punishment of Allah. This is what is meant by taqwa Allah. And that's why at times Allah will say what your taqwa nar al yatir is that bil kafir. Fear fire and Allah said what wa yaya fattakun. Only me you should watch fear. Is there any confirmation? No. Because when you are afraid of fire, that is the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to be thrown into earth fire, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do, you do. And whatever He asks you to go away from, you go away from. With that, you are fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you are afraid of human beings like you, that cannot earn you the social reasons of the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But your culture, the law in your culture goes against that. And you see what? You are still championing the law in your culture. You are still championing the law in your society. You are still championing the law in your state. That's why the fact that you know that this is against the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the taqwa of Allah? What one is doing is what is taqwa of those people, not the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum naran wa qudu an-nas wal hijara. All you believe, prevent yourself. Qu. In the same thing, waqa yati, that is to prevent. Qu anfusakum, prevent yourself. Wa ahlikum and your family. Naran from earth, from the fire. Wa qudu an-nas wal hijara. The fall of which will be mankind was hijar and stone. عليها ملائكة من غلاب الشباب لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يمرون. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them when you are yataqun and fear me in you. So when we look at the word iyyaya, it's just like saying what? Iyyaka na'budu. When we say iyyaka na'budu, we are saying it is only you that we worship. And Allah is commanding us to say, iyyaya fattakun. Only me you should watch. You should fear. That is fear that nobody deserves except you. There are some fear or there are some avoidance that you try to avoid some things. This is what natural avoidance. But the avoidance that only should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should not be shared between Allah and any of His creatures. Just like what the khawf that should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should not be shared between Allah and any of His creatures. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them this. Then because of your looking, then because of your looking for the favor of a noble person, you not say the wrong thing, or you say the wrong thing, or you promote the wrong thing. For yara of taqwa. So this is not restricted to the Bani Israel only. It is also extended to us. That what we shouldn't because of worldly things, not leave the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not because of worldly things sell the literal the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people in the course of what they will get in this world that they will leave the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is not the way of the believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned the children of Israel on that. وَلَا تَلْبِسُوا الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُوا الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. وَلَا تَلْبِسُوا الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. And do not mix up الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ, the truth with falsehood. May Allah save us from this. Now you know that this is the truth. But because of what you want to get, you mix up things. So that what? Things will look and give words to people. So that people will be confused. Now this is what we are supposed to say. So because of the worldly benefit that we are going to get, we mix up the truth with the falsehood. Allah told them, وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ فَتَكْتُمُوا الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. When you mix up al-haqq and baatil, with that you are what? you are preventing the truth from being seen. One thing, Alam, I know the truth. At times, one may not know that this that you have said, maybe you are giving a fatwa, for instance. He doesn't know that this fatwa that you are giving is what brings an established text. So this is not the case. The case is somebody who knows the truth, but because of what? Because of the person that is involved in this matter, is his wife, or his father, or his mother, or his children, or his personal benefit is involved. So we try to twist the neck of the arat, the truth, in order to watch, to agree with his own personal benefit. This is not the quality of the believers. This is the quality of the Jews. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned them, وَلَا تَلْبِسُوا الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ فَقَدْتُمُ الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. Also observe the salah, establish the salah by fulfilling all the necessary things, the compulsory aspects of the salah. You fulfill them. وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ, pay your zakah when it is due. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling them this, which means that what? Zakah was something that was compulsory on the people before us, not only on us. He said, وَرْكَوْا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, and also bow with those who bow. Bow with those who bow. Some scholars use this verse to say that Salat al-Jama'ah is compulsory, because Allah instructed them, said, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. Do ruku together with those who do ruku. Which means that Salat al-Jama'ah is compulsory. But from now on, this is not sufficient to say Salat al-Jama'ah is compulsory. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something similar concerning Maryam. He says, Ya Maryam, اقنتي لربك واسجدي واركعي مع الراكعين. واركعي مع الراكعين. And do ruku to those who do ruku. And it is not a consensus that Salat al-Jama'ah is not compulsory on women. So which means this is not an evidence that what Salat al-Jama'ah is compulsory. There are other evidences pointing to the fact that Salat al-Jama'ah is compulsory. It's much deeper than that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed them to observe Salah, to also pay their zakah. This is the arm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is reminding them again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ فَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ فَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. We saw that the Jews, when peace did not affect them or did not affect the highly placed people, we see them trying to say what this is, what Allah said on this matter, this is the truth on this matter. But if it affects them, or it affects the highly placed people in the society, you will see them trying to bend the neck of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to suit the wills and caprices of this highly placed people. So they will come out, they will give talk, they will give lecture to people, asking them to do good. And watch, they will not implement what they are telling people. And that is why it is very, very important for every da'iyah, the one who is calling to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to always observe that what is telling people to do, is he doing it? What is asking people to go away from? Is he also going away from it? This is very, very important. And that's why Prophet Shoaib alayhi salatu wasalam said, he said, وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَى مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ. He said, this that I'm telling you that you should not do, I do not want to contradict what I'm asking you to go away from. That is, I will not be doing what I'm asking you to do. not only be a mukhalifa, I don't want to always contradict this. Said, in uridu illa islah, mastata'tu. All that I'm saying, this lecture, this admonition that I'm giving to you people, I do not intend anything from it, except what? Al-islah, to rectify you, to correct you, mastata'tu, to the best of my ability. Said, wa ma tawfiqi illa billah. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can make me succeed. Alayhi tawakkaltu wa ilayhi uneeb. So the short from this ayah is that Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was telling the people that they should not be decreasing or using the measure. So some of those that are used against him that, oh, you are saying we should not reduce the measure. Why are you not reducing the measure? Or are you not reducing the measure? He said, well, now we are looking for Kumilama and Akum and you. So for every successful da'iya, he must be somebody that will be championing the righteous deeds. And will be somebody that what that will be abstaining from the evil things. So a da'iya shouldn't say what? It is what I tell you that you should follow, not my practice. A guy should be a good example in what? In implementing what he's telling the people to do, in avoiding what he's telling the people to avoid. This is what? A good quality. And that's why the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you won't see them doing things that they are forbidding. Things that they are forbidding on people, they will be those that will only go away from. And things that they have commanded the people to do, they will be those that will only do it. And that's what Allah was telling them here. أَتَعْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. And that's why he said, let's know Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who is calling somebody, who is calling people to righteousness and is forbidding evil. But such a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to treat him on the way of Qiyamah by making his intestines to go around him, tandaluk aqdamuhu, and in being effort. When the people of Qatar will be saying, oh so and so, Allah tata'amuhu bin ma'aruf wa tata'amu munkar. Why not the one that you tell people to do good and you want people from what evil? You know you keep preaching that. Then you say responsible what I asked you to do, I will not do it. Or I did not do it. And what I asked you to go away from, I will do it. So any successful da'iya should be ready to implement what he's telling people to do and go away from things that he's forbidding people. This will make his message acceptable to people. That is one. Now, does that mean that if somebody is not implementing what he's saying or going away from things that he has forbidden, does that mean that he should not do da'wah? Two things. One thing is to do da'wah, another thing is to implement what you are telling. So two controlling things. So and both of them are to be fulfilled. But if one fulfills one, by telling people the truth, but you are not doing the truth. You want people from what is evil, and you are doing the evil. You have fulfilled one aspect. But the second aspect is something that can also mar one before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's still better than the one who is what? Who is not telling people the right thing, and is not what? Warning people from evil. And he himself is not doing the right thing. And it's also what? Wallowing in evil. The second person, the first person is better than this person. But the best is the one who tells people the truth and he does it. He wants people from evil, he also avoids. Because why to be something that is good that you should be telling people this is what they should do, this is what you should avoid, and you do not do it, you do not avoid it. Why to do a good thing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't have reproached the children of Israel that by saying أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أنا وارين البوخ يمارس الزتوج أفلا تعقلون الله سبحانه وتعالى says don't you have sense, don't you have intellect that will benefit you. Now, the aql that human beings generally that we are that differentiate us from the animals. This is not enough. It is the one who utilizes this aql that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes. The one that does not utilize the aql, the sense, the intellect that Allah has given him in order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be steadfast. Such a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will consider such a person as what? Very wa'aqib. The one that does not have what? That does not have intellect. Now, what is the benefit of the intellect that Allah has given to you that has not benefited you, that has not turned you to the right path? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning the kuffar. He said, وَلَقَدْ ضَرَبْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ اللَّهُ said, we are created for Jahannam. كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ A lot of jinn, والإنس and man and men, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا They have hearts with which they cannot understand. What is the benefit of the art, the benefit of the intellect that one has that cannot benefit one? What is the benefit of the eye that one has that cannot benefit one, that cannot guide one to the truth? What is the benefit of the ear that one has that cannot benefit one? Allah is ulaika kal an'am. He said they are like what? Beasts. He said, Balum Adon. They are worse than the beast. Because the beast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not impose on them any ibadah. That is the ibadah, because Allah says, إِنَّا رَبَّ الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَ أَنْ يَحْمِلْنَا وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنْهَا وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظُلُومًا جَهُولًا. The ibadah that means this is what? The ordinary ibadah, the general ibadah. But mankind and the jinn, we took this upon ourselves. But despite all this, we did not fulfill it. So the intellect that we have, this intellect, if it is not used towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards implementing the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallahi la'adhim, if the person is called a professor, his professorship is what is nonsense. Because it has not benefited him. What is the benefit of a professorship that will land one into hell? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Can't you make use of the sense, the senses that you have? Can't you make use of your intellect? You're asking people to do good and you are not doing the good. You're asking people to go away from things that are haram. Then you are the one doing these things that are haram. One of the questions, لا تنهى عن حلق وتأتي مثله عارٌ عليك إذا فعلت عظيم. Do not ask people to go away from a behavior, a character. وتأتي مثله. Then you will do the same thing. عارٌ عليك. This is what? This is a disgrace for you, an embarrassment for you. إذا فعلت عظيم. A great one. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us one of those that will tell the truth and also implement it. One of those who want to look for evil and also go away from evil. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحانك لا علم لحدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
Because we did our move that we come up with
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. Now the fear that we're talking about here is what is known as the khawf al-sulh, not al-khawf al-sulh, not the natural or the instinctive fear. It is the one that is not khawf al-sulh. Now, when one is afraid of one's boss, but if one is not loyal to one's boss, one will be sacked. Now, you have to respect the one who is above you. A boy should respect his or her mother. A subordinate should respect his or her boss. But if this respect is now leading you to what? Doing things that Allah has forbidden. Not to please him. So this type of khawf, and that if I do not do this thing that my boss has said I should do, he will sack me. What is that thing that your boss has asked you to do? Is it things that are mubahat? If we are mubahat, things that are permissible, then no harm. Why should you do it? But if there are things that are muharramat, that Allah has forbidden, when you do that, what does that mean? That means you are afraid that this person can make you obey. So that depends on the level of your fear in doing that thing. It will be what? It will be shirku akbar, it will be shirku akbar. If one does it because you are afraid that it will sack you, know that you push the person in the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I don't mind if I would please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most important thing for me is to please my boss. If it gets to this level, it becomes what? It becomes the khawf that is shirk akbar. Then it doesn't get to that level, it is what? It is shirk akbar. And remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in kana abaukum wa abnaukum وإخوانكم وعشراتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن تردونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره. Allah said to them that if what is not enough to you is your father, your mother, your brothers, your family, your office, your business, if there are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger, and you are fighting in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then rush to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes with his affairs. So, if there is not taking this aspect, one will become mushrik, shirk akbar. It depends on the level that you put those things. But the more you incline or you lean towards those things, then you know that what they gain the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more one is falling into what? Shirk and kufr with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the one who knows the truth is the judge, for instance, and he wants to judge. If that judges with other than the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he judges with what? Maybe with what he desires. He has committed what? He has committed what? He has committed shirk. Now this shirk is shirkun asghar. It's kufrun duna kufr. But if you believe that this is what you should do, that I cannot leave this, even if Allah will go, Allah should go, then you convert shirkun asghar. And that's why Qalal said, وَمَا لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا ذَا اللَّهُ فَوْلَيْكُمْ الْكَافِرُونَ. Then Ibn Abbas of Allah was talking, he said, what? This is what? Kufrun duna kufr. Because almost everybody falls in this. One way or the other, you commit what? Shirk Afgar or Kufrun Afgar. One way or the other. But if it leads to what? Shirk Akbar, then one becomes what? Khaijun in Millat Islam. One has gone out of the world. But if it is in the thing what? Shirk Afgar, this is one of the, is the greatest sin. Huh? This can be worse than what? Zina. Can be worse than what? The consumption of intoxicants can be worse than what? Can be worse than eating riba, as on and so forth. Shirk Afgar. They want to believe me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us. Wallahu a'lam. How do you perform ablution and pray in the bus? Now, if the bus, for instance, you have water in the bus, and if you perform ablution on the deck of the bus, the owner of the bus won't talk. So you perform ablution the way you perform ablution. Now, as for praying in the bus, so one pray to the best of one's ability. Even if some pillars are going to be left, take for instance, maybe the prayer standing, praying standing, if it's going to be left, so one can do that. But if you know that the place that you are, your destination, you are likely to get there before the time of the salah runs out, it is better if you wait to get there. But when the time of salah is going to elapse before you get to your destination, then so you go to the best of your ability. So if you can't pray standing, you pray seated. And your ruku, your sujood, will be lower than your ruku. So you do all of that thing, recitation and the likes. Wallahu a'lam. Huh? If you are the one driving, that would be suicidal. So maybe one should delay it till one gets to one's destination. Wallahu a'lam. Now he's asking about tayammum in the bus. You can do tayammum if there is no water to perform ablution, or the water that you have, you cannot make use of it because the environment is not enabling. Wallahu a'lam. Now that statement by that imam attributed to Rabi'at al-Adawiyya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam which has said that or not. It was said that the woman said, Allahumma in kuntu a'abuduka rabbata fi jannatika faharrimniha. Oh Allah, if I'm worshipping you because I want to be admitted into the Jannah, faharrimniha, deny me that al-Jannah. وَإِن كُنْتُ أَعْبُدُكَ فِرَارًا مِنْ نَارِكَ. And if I'm worshipping you فِرَارًا مِنْ نَارِكَ, in order to escape from your fire, he said, حَرِقْنِي بِهَا, burn me with that fire. وَإِن كُنْتُ أَعْبُدُكَ لِمَحَبَّتِكَ الْأَزَلِيَّةِ. But if I'm worshipping you لِمَحَبَّتِكَ الْأَزَلِيَّةِ, because of you, the eternal love that I have for you, he said, فَفْعَلْ, she said, فَفْعَلْ بِمَا تَشَاءُ. Do whatever your life would be. Now, this statement is not in conformity with the Quran. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, among the people of those who so watch, وَمِنُ مَنْ يَكُونْ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So we are worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we don't want to enter what? Hellfire. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا لِلْنَا مَنْ مُقُوْ أَنْفُسَكُمْ وَأَعْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَكُدُوا أَنْوَسُ الْحِجَارًا وَتَقُوا النَّارًا لَسِوِيْتَتْ الْكَافِرِ. So many verses like that. So are we going to leave this verses of the Quran for the statement of said to one waliya? No. So that is what is not correct. So the fact that you are afraid to enter hellfire and you are interested in entering al-Jannah, you are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you want him to do this for you. That is what the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because our salah, we ask why are you praying? You are praying because what? You want Allah to do good for you. And part of the good that Allah can do for you is that what Allah created fire that he wants to throw people who disobey him. So, and you don't want to be thrown into that fire. So you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you do not want him to throw you into that fire. You worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he has promised those who worship you al-Jannah. And you want to go to al-Jannah. So there is nothing wrong in that. To be afraid of hellfire, when you are afraid of hellfire, the fear you have for hellfire is not uncomfortable. Who amongst us would like to be thrown into fire here? So we all like to watch to be in affluence in this world. We want to be in affluence, enjoy. So, but you know that if you worship Allah with very, why wouldn't you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So that statement is not correct at all. That statement is not correct. That doesn't mean we are not afraid or we don't fear Allah. We fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the raja in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these two go together. It is the stupid people that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with love only. And some people, the Khawarij, they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what? With fear only. And that's why the what they distribute fire for people. Because they worship Allah with what? With fear only. The Murji'a, they worship Allah with what? With raja only. They believe that what? Anything they do, Allah will bring them into al-Jannah. So the Khawarij, they know it's difficult for you to enter al-Jannah. So everything is what? Fear. But also Jama'ah, they gather everything with fear and what? And raja and hope. You look at the areas where Allah has promised people, you have what? Hope. If you look at areas where Allah has what? Threatened people with punishment, what? You entertain fear. Then the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love that you will not have for anybody. Because the only one that deserves this for Allah. Well, a lot of these commands that we are talking about, they are ignorant. They are ignorant, so, and they ought to be tutored. So, at times, in the first things of Kofru, so before one can make the fear of them, one has to do a comment in scripture. We have to establish evidence on them. So, that statement is incorrect. Allah Allah.
I'm going to go on the phone with you.
Now, if you have an imam that is guilty of things that are against Islam, so you have somewhere else where you can go where the imam is not guilty of that, then you go to the imam that is not guilty of that. But in the absence of such an imam that is free from all this rubbish, the other imam has not been established against him, or he has not committed something that he said in his words, this is clear kufr, you still pray behind him, you still pray behind him. Nothing like such a person and praying alone is also against the sunnah, as long as the imam has not committed kufr, that is what, that is clear, or evidence has been established on him on the kufr that he has committed. So in the absence of such an imam, such an upright imam, one can still pray behind the imam that is doing some things that are not open, as long as they are not clear kufr. Allahu a'lam. Now, who was right among you? Who was right? Who was right? The one that saw water, found water, and was repeated in the air. Is that what you said? It's more correct. The one that did not repeat his salah is more correct, because it is clear. The one who said, وَفَاكَ الْأَجْرُ مَرَّتَيْنِ, that is the avenue for praying with tayammum, you have that. Then this ishtihad that you teach for repeating your salah allows going to reward you for that ishtihad. Is that clear? Allah is going to reward you for that ishtihad. So, because it did not do it in order to go against but he felt that what he did was not correct. He now repeated this. So Allah rewarded him for that watch, for that effort. You know the hadith, إِذَا حَكَمَ الْحَاكِمُ إِذَا اجْتَهَدَ الْحَاكِمُ وَحَكَمَ وَأَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا مَنْ أَخْطَأَ فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ وَاحِدٌ. So if the Hakim, the one who is passing judgment, if he makes effort to get it right, and if the point is going to award two rewards. One reward for eating the point, the other reward for what? For his efforts. Is that clear? So the same thing is applicable to this man who observed Salah al-Tayammum, but he felt that ultimately should allow rewarding for the ishtihad that he did. But that doesn't mean that what his case is better than the case of the one who did not. But that one was sure of what he did. So Ali is telling Ladina Ya'lamun, well Ladina La Ya'lamun. So the reward of the one who was upon the sunnah, who did the sunnah, is much more than the reward of the one who the Prophet Allah said was back al ajru marratayn. Because what you do with knowledge is never the same thing as what you do with what? With the food. If an alim or somebody who has a knowledge of a thing does it, his reward is never the same as the reward of a muqallid. If you ask a muqallid, why did you do this? He said, no, you asked to do it. You will get a reward for doing it, but his reward will not be the reward, the same reward as somebody who does it with what? With knowledge. Because with knowledge, verify Allah in the arena. So knowledge increases you if you are sincere with it. If you are sincere with it. But if one is not sincere with it,
or one is looking for the faith of the people, or one is looking for one thing, then that would be a kind of a problem for one on the day of Qiyamah. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that من تعلم علما مما ابتغى به وجه الله لا يتعلمه إلا ليصيب به عرض من الدنيا. Whoever learns anything with which the face of Allah is sought, but does not learn this thing except to get something, a worldly benefit. That is his intention, to get a worldly benefit. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, such a person, لم يجد عرف الجنة, he will not perceive, he will not get the عرف, the order of الجنة. Take all the time that what he has learned, but his intention for learning is not because he wants to get the pleasure of Allah. His intention is because he wants people to praise him and so on and so forth. And that's why we have to purify our intentions. Those of us who are learning, students of knowledge, who purify their intentions. Some of us today, we are learning some of these things. When you learn your mechanical engineering, you learn your this, your all these are worldly things. But the one who is learning religious matters, maybe specializing in maybe Sharia, Aqidah, and the like. But his intention is what? He wants to get doctorate so that what? He can get good job. He has destroyed his intention. Allah save us from this. But if his intention for getting the doctorate or getting the master's and so on and so forth, is for him to establish the truth the more. Because he has known that people who do not have this, people who do not recognize them in society, are telling the truth. If that is the intention, this is a different case. But I'm learning this, I'm learning Sharia, I'm learning this, so that I can also secure a good job. So this is clear. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmahullah ta'ala explains in the explanation of Riyad al-Salihin wallahu a'lam. The jinn? Now, when somebody is or somebody is possessed by jinn, we have the same thing. Maybe from childhood, the person has been possessed by the evil people, so it is so like that. So, the same thing, he has been possessed, or she has been possessed. So what one can do in a situation like this is one to do the adhkar recommended by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not to belittle it. Because the problem a lot of us are having today is that we belittle the adhkar of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we belittle the adhkar that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has once recommended. Take for instance, reciting Kul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq and Kul A'udhu bi Rabbil Nas. These two chapters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to recite these two chapters in order to free himself from being watched, from being tied. You know, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was possessed somehow to the extent that you have not even a man who has. If you appear to him as he was having sexual intercourse with the world, and he loved you. So for about 40 days or so, this was the situation. And Allah said, what? Kul yan kul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. And kul a'udhu bi rabbil nas. And he was saying this and with this. And that was his authentic, the Messenger of Allah would do the ayyub with these two chapters. But you know, when you have to do this, oh, this is too small. So, madam, you don't have the one that is more powerful than this. Surah al-Fatiha, nothing of Allah has used it to heal somebody that was possessed. A companion refers to what you thought was somebody that was possessed by jinn in the morning and in the evening. He did it for some days and the person became what? Became ill. Became well when he did this. Surah Al-Fatiha, Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu anhu, I give it to him, somebody that was bitten by a snake. If we put all this, but this iman is what is missing in us. So, and it is the area where we put Allah that you meet Allah. So, if you believe that if you recite all this, it will work for you until you consult one person that is a specialist in Rukia. You will also consult the jinn. Because a lot of those who say they are being watched, they are being looked after people today, they are friends of the jinn. The jinn will recommend a lot of things for them that they will do. And they will do. So, Surah Al-Fatiha of Allah is very, very, very useful. The Mu'awwidhatayn, very, very useful in a situation like this. So let us recite it from such a person, morning and evening. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such a person, wallah. Now, never said this, Mr. Islamic teachers. What is your own intention of being here? Is it to spread the sunnah when you are teaching or because you want to make money? That is what we are talking about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُرِدِ حَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا نُوَفِّ إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ حَبِطَتْ لَهُمْ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ أو أولئك الذين ليس لهم في الآخرة إلا النار وحبطت أعمالهم وباطل ما كانوا يعملون. Allah has said those that have the intention of looking for dunya with their righteous deeds. Now I'm teaching people the Islamic study or so. The watch is a righteous deed. But the intention is what? A person is looking for the worldly thing with this. Allah said, what do you know about Allah and Fiyah and Fiyah? That's the question. What they want to give them, and what has been decreed for them that they will have, that's the question. This will not be reduced. So Allah said, what do you like? Let alone for the akhirat illa nar. Wa habita ma sana'u fiha wa batilu ma kanu fi amali. And these people in the earth resurrection, they do not have anything in the akhir, in the nar. The habit of Masana was here. The righteous that they did in the dunya, habit of, as what? As the common oil and verge, for that to look, Makani, Rahmani. And what we also do is what? Is also bound as God in vain. Somebody who has intention is what the Shaykh Rahimahullah Ta'ala is referring to. That, there is job opportunity, let me go and seek job opportunity. What is the hadith? The Messenger of Allah said, what? فَمَنْ كَانَتْ إِجْرَاتُهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَإِجْرَاتُهُ إِلَّا رَسُولِهِ مِكَانْ إِجْرَاتُهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا أَوْ مُرَاتٍ فَانْكِفْرَ فَإِجْرَاتُهُ لَمَا هَذَا رَيْهِ. But what the person could have done is for him to have what the intention of what spreading the da'wah at the same time having in addition to that what of making you combine it to. There's nothing wrong with that. Just like the one who is going for Hajj. He wants to worship Allah at the same time he wants to sell some commodities. Huh? There's nothing wrong in that. Yashhadu manafi alahu. Salaf what al manafi al ukhrawiyya wal manafi الدنياوية. So but for the study to get the pleasure of this world, then it should be written for him that word, he has gone master, he has gotten master or doctorate in Islamic studies because he wants a greener pasture. Allah. Out. Nam akin di jin, we want to do it for. Scholar will discourage this. Because the thing of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took Abu Hurairah the line, Sadaqaka wa huwa kadhib. The jinn are telling the truth, but it's kadhib, it's a great liar. So, why asking a great liar? Why did you enter? Why did you possess him? You may tell it is his mother or her mother that has sent him to do that. I will be lying. So why asking him questions? So when you are allowed, we only say what? Go out. But engaging in conversation, how old are you? Since when have you been doing this? As some of these people will do. So these people have also been possessed by the jinn. Because the jinn has also succeeded in what? In using them. A lot of homes have been destroyed by having what? Conversation with the jinn. That possess some people. So the most thing, the most important thing for us to watch to ask them to go out of that person. But engaging them in what in speech is not something that is good. Because if they lie to us, we don't have what to counter their lie or to unravel whatever they said. Is that authentic? So because of the hadith that when they were looking for Umar of Allah, so they went to a woman, this we don't have any clear evidence that it is authentic. The story, a very story like that has been more authentic to establish anything in the Sharia. Allah. Now, as for fasting in Muharram, or doing some Ibadah in Muharram, doing Ibadah in Muharram, let me ask Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let us know that the best month is what is the month of Muharram. So, doing Ibadah, it is something that we watch. It is good. Only that it was reported that the fasting of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sha'ban will be more than that of Muharram. But he has said that the best is what you call the Muharram. So, Sha'ban Muharram. So, it's the best month. So, you can do a lot of Ibadah, particularly the 10th day. Of that month, the 10th day of that month, which is the day of Ashura. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would prefer, as Ibn Abbas said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not give too much to a day, more than Ashura and Ramadan, the month of Ramadan. So another, it is good to fast Ashura. It is good to fast Ashura, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that this is something good. But fasting it, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that la injaa sabirun next year, la asumanna fasya. I will fast the night of Muharram. When he was told that this 10th day of Muharram, the Jews, the old in I esteem. So he said, what in Jah, covering the Sumanna Fasya. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make the Messenger of Allah witness the following year. So, and it was considered as the Sunnah to fast 9th and 10th of Muharram. What about fasting 11th? There is a hadith that says one should fast 10th and 11th. The hadith is the tradition of Imam Ahmad, but it is a weak hadith. That is one that says you can fast 9th or 11th in addition to 10th. This is also what there is. So the one that is authentic is what? Fasting, tent and what? Night. Or fasting only tent, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach. Then generally speaking, fasting the month of Muharram, as Messenger of Allah said, you are fasting, which is what? It's the best. So this gives us the opportunity to fast as many days as possible in the month of Muharram. Allah wa'alaikum. Now there is a ibadah that some people do, the 10th of Muharram. There is what the people call kayu kayu. So some people cook food and the like. So these people, they will do the Ahlul Sunnah. But I don't know that what they are doing was introduced by the Nawasib. The Nawasib are those who are trying to counter the Rawatib. The Rawatib are those who have excessive love for Ali and his family. To the extent that was the most extreme of the companions. To the extent that was, he said the Quran is incomplete. So, some people try to counter them. Now they will attack Ali and his family. And Hussein radiallahu anhu, who was killed on the day of Ashura by the troops of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. And the people, the Shia Rawafij, they believed that their fathers, their grandfathers, betrayed Hussein by inviting him to Kufa. They said they would give him support. But on getting there, they did not give him support. Rather, he was killed by the troop of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. So in order to not show regret for this and to sympathize with Hussein radiallahu anhu, they decided to be cutting themselves with a knife and a light so that what this would be an atonement for the evil deeds of their great grandfathers. So the Nawasib, they are trying to counter these people that if you are putting yourself into this type of suffering because of Hussein, we will be celebrating that very day. We'll be eating, drinking. So because like a great day for us too. So some people don't actually refer to the role of the Nawasib, who can prove the line of some weaker hadith that says, من وصع على أهله يوم عاشوراء وصع الله عليه سائر سنته. So whoever gives his family food on the day of Ashura, entertain them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also entertain him throughout the year. So line on this hadith that is what? That is fabricated. So some people ignorantly, they took to the way of the Nawasib. So in terms of the ibadah of cooking food, this is what this is. In terms of the ibadah of cutting oneself, so this is also not business. So the ibadah that one can do is fasting, 10th of Ashura, because this is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, فَصَمَهُ مُوسَى شُكْرًا Musa fasted in order to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Sada also fasted and he ordered his companions to fast it. But when it was Ramadan, when Ramadan came, was instituted, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left it to be in the hands of the people. So whoever wants to fast can fast, and whoever does not want to fast, don't fast. But there is no doubt that fasting is like a really sin of a minor sin of 1 year, Allahu A'lam. Then finally, we are having receiving some pieces of information that is going to be a piece of the sun, I think, today. So firstly, as Muslims, we are not to rely on something like that. We are not to rely on it. Fine, it is easier for them to know when there is likely to be eclipse of the sun. It is easier than even determining the commencement of Ramadan or the burning of what? The appearing of the new moon. As Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala said more than 700 years ago, that it is difficult for the astronomers or the astrologers to say that what the new moon will be sighted tonight. Because that cannot be accurate. When they tell you the new moon will be sighted today, it cannot be accurate everywhere. They can only tell you when the new moon is to be born. But when we need the sighted, this is premised on many things. But easier than this is what to say what there is going to be eclipse of the sun. So the calculation can be that accurate. But despite all this, as Muslims, we are not to rely on this. Because our attitude towards the eclipse of the sun or the moon is not the attitude of the scientist. They see it as what? A normal phenomenon. That nothing is what is attached to it. It's just like anything is what is happening. Now we as Muslims, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إذا رأيتموهما when you see the eclipse of the sun or the moon, فَفْزَعُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. It says, عَرِفُ الصَّلَاةِ. Remember the first, he said what? فَفْزَعُوا إِلَى الدُّعَى. Hurry to what? To dua. Remember the first, he said what? He said, فَفْزَعُوا وَصَلُّوا وَكَدِّرُوا وَتَصَدَّقُوا. He said, when you see this, he said, observe salah. Engage in dua. Engage in takbir. He said, وَتَصَدَّقُوا and also do sadaqah. So, حتى انجليا وحتى تنكشف as the Surah of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. In another report, the Surah of Allah said, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكَ يُخَوِّفُ اللَّهُ بِعِبَادَةٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is threatening his devotees with this. But the scientists don't consider that as what? As frightening? No. It's a normal phenomenon. But they've forgotten that this that they consider to be normal phenomenon, what if Allah decided that he wants to make the night to be like that or the day to be like that? So there will be eclipse of the sun forever. Who is the Lord? Who is the God that can bring us the day? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us on justice in the Quran. Sometimes why we should not be able to be. One of the people who are destroyed, when they saw the cloud coming, they said, what have I arisen? Mentoruna. Oh, this is rain that's coming. This is rain of it. But when it came, it was what? Arab. It was a punishment that destroyed them. So the fact that you see that clip of the sun, that doesn't mean what? You should take it away. These people will not hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take it. So we take it as something that Allah is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا نُرْسِلْ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا تَخْوِيفًا وَمَا نُرْسِلْ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا تَخْوِيفًا. These signs will send them إِلَّا تَخْوِيفًا as well. Signs of frightening people. But some people will not be frightened with that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that وَمَا مَنَعَنَا أَن نُرْسِلَ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا أَن كَذَّبَ بِهَا الْأَوَّلُونَ وَأَتَيْنَا ثَمُودَ نَاقَةً مُبْصِرَةً فَظَلَمُوا بِهَا. So the Thamud, they were given not a camel as a sign. But they don't believe, go. They just say it as what? An ordinary thing. And that's a great sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَعَقَرُوهَا. They killed it. فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِ رَبُّهُ بِذَنْبِهِ فَصَوَّاهَا وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. So things like this, when there is cloud, don't say, oh, it is going to rain. You are, as a Muslim, you should think beyond that. Nothing was allowed, but when he saw clouds at times, it became what? Disturbed. But when it fell, and it was what? Good rain, it would give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were some people that thought that what it was rain that was coming, and it turned out to be what? Adab. So when there is earthquake, there is all these things, don't say these are normal things. These are signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can use to destroy people. And that is why, watch, we should rely on it when we see it. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُ مُوْ when you say it. So this is what we are expecting. So what the Muslim should know is that they should have the knowledge of what you should do when this happens. But for somebody to tell you there is going to be axis of the sun, the axis of the moon, a long before it happens, this is trying to watch. To water down that thing before you. So ordinarily, I wouldn't have said this, but just to shed light on some things that we should do. So when this happens, we should do what Allah did. There was only one episode of the sun that happened during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when it happened, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ran to the mosque, fasalla an-nasu wara'ahu, and the people, they also aligned behind him, and they led him to salah. But the way the salah will be observed is different from the normal salah that you do. The way you observe it is what? In the next day, he recited Surah Al-Fatiha, and he recited another chapter after Surah Al-Fatiha. According to Abdullah ibn Abbas, said as long as what Surah Al-Baqarah. Aisha radiallahu anha said he recited the Surah aloud. Having finished the recitation of the Surah, he went for ruku, and the ruku was also late. So he raised his head from the ruku, Sayyidina Allah ibn Hamida. He started another recitation he did. The Nabi said, watch, it's different from the normal salat. So he started what in Fatiha again, another 90 surah, like that. All these units allowed according to the report of Aisha radiallahu anha. Then after that, he went for another ruku. He did the normal thing that we do in ruku. 90 ruku. When he raised his head from ruku, and what said to me Allah, he said to me Allah, when Hamida, so which means what? Two raka, that is two standing rather, two what? Ruku. And what we are using is what? One standing, one ruku, two sujood. Now in this case now, it's what? Two standing, two ruku, two sujood. That is the third raka. Then he did the second raka like that today. Two standing, two ruku, two sujood. The second raka not as lengthy as what before raka. And after that he did the slave. But in the case of the Messenger of Allah, when he did the slave, the earthquake as what? As cleared when he did it. But let's assume that you have finished your salah and the earthquake has not disappeared. What should you do? Some scholars have said, watch, you should go back to salah again and continue to do nawafil, no, as the Hanabil have said. Some said, no. But what Allah has what advised us? They said, what? Fazaru ila dua. They said, fakadiru wa fasandaku. So you engage yourself in this. If you have completed salah and Qazwa disappears, so you do the prayer of Allah, you do the zone, you do dua. So can you do this individually till everything comes to an end, till everything clears? So with that, we can now move back to our works, so to say. So he did compulsory to observe this. The majority of scholars said it is sunnah, not compulsion. But if you look at the hadith available on this, Allahu A'lam, it is closer, or really I have to say it is what? Wajib. Because Messenger of Allah, he ran to the mosque. And he also instructed people when you see this observe in a dua. So what the Jalita Bukhara said by saying it is what sunnah to observe it, then it's not the way their opinion, Allahu A'lam. Now as an individual, maybe you are not in the mosque, something like this happened, can you observe it at all? One can say yes, particularly when you cannot find people to pray with the masjid, or maybe the masjid has a lot of, maybe you are living in an environment where you cannot come outside, where you cannot come out at night if it is a push of the moon, for instance. So one can still observe it in one's room, wallahu alam. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. وجه وجه ركوع سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده سبحان ربي الاعلى. يس ركوع هو سجود كما سبليكيشن از ويل. أبو سنتي لا سنة مؤكدة أو سنة yes okay if what you mean is that scholars are saying there is consensus on that that is not the majority of scholars on his work is sunnah. When I say majority of the scholars, I'm not referring to the majority of the Madhari. Because when we say Jumhur al-Ulama, we'll be referring to three out of four Madhahib. But the Jumhur here is the Jumhur of the scholars, not the Jumhur of the Madhahib. Now the Ijma quoted by Imam Nawawi and some other scholars, that Ijma is not accepted. Why? Because there are scholars who did not accept that. And Imam Shawkani did not support that. Sheikh Al-Albani did not support that. So there are a lot of scholars who did not see that. So, and so I have to say there is ijma on this. You have to be very, very careful on what declaring ijma. And that's why Imam Ahmad said, when you die ijma, fuck a kadab. So we allow there is ijma on this issue. This thick issue, for instance, is ijma on it, fuck a kadab. We are so delighted. وَمَا يُدْرِينَ لَنَّا تَخْتَلَفُوا. It doesn't mean that people have watched. People have disagreed on this matter. And that's why they say Ijma. It will be Ijma when you attend to this. The Ijma of those whose that their disagreement is considered. But the disagreement of the Zahiriyya, scholars do not consider it. So they are quoting Ijma, that is, they are disregarding the statement of the Zahiriyya. So at times, there is ijma because I know those who have opposed this position. So Al-Imam al-Nawawi, for example, said there is ijma on this matter. Or Ibn al-Munzir said there is ijma on this matter because they do not know any scholar who opposed this. وَعَدَمُ الْعِلْمِ لَيْسَ الْعِلْمِ بِالْعَدَمِ. The fact that you do not know doesn't mean what? It does not exist. And that very type of ijma that some scholars will declare is not accepted by some scholars. And that's why Al-Imam al-Shawkani rahmahullah ta'ala will say what? The da'wah of ijma is the tool that they use to what? To tear, to fight those who are not well grounded in knowledge. When you hear that ijma on the matter, you want to, for those who are well grounded in knowledge, when they hear that there is ijma, they say, who are those who claim that ijma? Where is that ijma credit? They want to know the ijma. So, wallahu a'lam, the ijma quoted by the Imam al-Nawawi, we have scholars who do not subscribe to that ijma. And that's why it is good to say what the majority of the scholars say, it is sunnah, wallahu a'lam. One the ruku the ruku that says the ruku are three, or some that says four, or some that says five. Fine, one is in Muslim, that of Jabir, and one from Abdullah bin Abbas of Allah. So it contradicts the one from Abdullah ibn Abbas, which also works with Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. And that's why scholars say that one is not authentic. So this is one of the few ahadith that scholars faulted on Sahih Muslim. So other ones that mentioned five Ruku, Sunnah Abu Dawood, and some other books, they are also considered not to be authentic, as Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala explains in his Fatawa Allah. Now, what you are used to, is what one standing, that is one raka, every raka you have what? One standing before ruku. Then we have what? One ruku, and we have two sujood in every raka. But now there will be two standings, two ruku. How? Standing first with recitation, ruku, raising the air from ruku, another recitation again. Not handling the first one of the can see that you will do when you are in standing position. Now you start another recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. No, you will go for the first. As for instance, you say what? Then sujood. That is the two sujood that you are used to. That is one raka. Then you get up to go to start the second raka the same way. So this is one that is established again. So I hope you can answer this. If that might be that student was going to use, that's what it is. And the rule of the Now the scientists will say what? It is normal. It is what? Normal. So this is what they say. But for us, when this happened, during the time of the Messenger of Allah, it coincided rather with the death of Ibrahim, the son of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some people are saying, no, the son has eclipsed because of the death of Ibrahim. The Messenger of Allah came out. He says, إِنَّ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ آيَتَانِ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا لَا يَنْكَسِفَانِ لِمَوْتِ أَحَدٍ وَلَا لِآيَاتِهِ. The sun and the moon are two signs of Allah. They do not eclipse because of the death of one person or the death of a person. So they are signs of Allah. So فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمُهُمَا, when you see both of them eclipsed or one of them eclipsed, فَرْزَوَنْ إِلَى الصَّلَةِ, so come to Salah. So we say it's what? An evil sign. We say what? It's an evil sign. But at least we should be afraid what can the cause of this. It's just like you see the cloud, you see it cloudy. A believer will be afraid that it will be punishment. Someone who is an unbeliever, for instance, may even forecast that there is going to be what? Rain tomorrow. He won't tell, or he can't tell, the manifestation of what? Of the rain. So a Muslim will be looking at the angle or the area of this can be a punishment. So if Allah decides that the eclipse should be like that, who will give us light? Don't we need light? We use the sun, the heat of the sun, we use it for a lot of things in our life. They benefit us, they benefit the plants. So who will give us light? Who will give us the heat? So Muslims should be looking at this, that Allah is the owner of the sun and it can hold anything. So you should not be looking at it the way a Catholic looks at it, that it's just a normal phenomenon. And these are at times they look at it normal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them by surprise, will destroy a lot of things in their country, in their state. And after this calamity has happened, they will not be looking for what? A solution for that. So who says it's evil? Or it is what? Good. But we should be afraid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may decide to use it as a punishment. Since we can't tell, let us do what the Messenger of Allah has instructed. Allah Almighty.
Now, what time
you
have
by? Now, I'm sure that it's not composing Salah, but it's like the five daily prayers, according to what majority of the scholars. And then we say it's like, if we say it's composing Salah, some scholars have said, so it's not the same thing as the five daily prayers. So if one takes the Mus'haf and reads from the Mus'haf, Allah Allah, but the person won't do that according to the majority of the scholars, Allah Allah. Huh? I don't have evidence for that. In registering people? Now, this alert me, if you are not going to pay for anything, then you will be asked to pay a huge amount of money to participate in that. Then that was the word gambling. But if you are not going to pay, maybe you just do everything yourself. So this should be permissible. It now depends on where are you going. So if you are going to the land of Kofu, that is worse than Nigeria, and to those who believe that Nigeria is not land of Islam, or the land that is in between, not land of Islam, not land of Kofu. As Sheikh Islam continued, I rented some lands, but they are not land of Islam, they are not land of Kofu. So if you are going to a land that is what, that is not worse than Nigeria, in terms of what, practicing your religion, then it will be permissible. When it is worse than Nigeria, in terms of what, enabling you to practice your religion, then it is not permissible to go to such a land. So the issue of the visa lottery is one thing. Another thing is the land that you are going. That's another thing. Wallahu a'lam. Now, if it is that of gambling, then it's not good. If it is that of gambling, but if it is not, if it does not involve gambling, it's just to register the people. This Wallahu a'lam may be permissible. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.